Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Wheat has long been a part of the Western diet because it's nutritious and has many uses, yet a growing number of people are being diagnosed with celiac disease, an inability to process gluten, the protein found in wheat. Many others say that eating gluten-free has improved their health. This morning, we'll talk about celiac disease and gluten intolerance, why we're seeing an increase in diagnosis, the difference between the two, and how healthcare professionals are treating and researching the disease. Joining us from our studios at WGBH in Boston, Dr. Alessio Fasano, founder of the Center for Celiac Research and Treatment. Good morning.
Good morning, Wendy. Thanks for having me.
And Ann Sarkeesian, who's the author of Toxic Staple, How Gluten May Be Wrecking Your Health and What You Can Do About It, who also suffers from gluten intolerance. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Mindy, and thanks very much for having
me on.
Sure.
And a little later in the program, we're going to bring a registered dietitian on to talk a little bit about lifestyle changes for a gluten-free diet. Dr. Fasano, celiac disease describes a person's inability to process gluten. Can you describe what happens when a person with celiac disease ingests gluten?
Yeah, celiac disease now is considered truly the autoimmune response to gluten. People that suffer this condition has to be genetically predisposed. When they eat grains containing gluten, gluten cannot be completely digested and therefore can trigger an immune response because of this genetic predisposition. And this immune response, rather than to fight the enemy, in this case gluten, to try to eliminate it, start to fight against its own body. And the target of the celiac disease autoimmunity is the intestine that becomes destroyed, and therefore its function of digestion, absorption, and foodstuff is jeopardized, and you have the clinical outcome that characterizes celiac disease.
So you're saying this destroys intestines. I mean, so does it get to a point where you aren't absorbing the nutrients and vitamins and things that, you should be? Is that a part of this?
Absolutely. One of the key functions of the intestine is to make use of foodstuff to generate, calories and therefore, make use of what we eat. When the intestine is destroyed, so these structures, they are called villi, in which all the machinery to digest and absorb foodstuff are damaged, that capability to make use of foodstuff is decreased, and therefore the consequence is that people would develop symptoms because of the inability to properly digest foodstuff.
So what are the symptoms then of celiac disease?
The most obvious and they well recognized from the very beginning, since celiac disease was described a long time ago, are gastrointestinal symptoms, of course. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, if you do not digest foodstuff, the consequence is that you lose weight, so you can have problem in terms of maintaining your weight. You can have diarrhea. You can have a stomach ache. And you can have nausea and vomiting. These are the most obvious, gastrointestinal symptoms. And for many years, we thought that they were the only clinical outcome of celiac disease. And that created a tremendous amount of confusion, particularly in terms of what celiac disease is and the entity of the problem. Because over time, we learned that besides the gastrointestinal symptoms, there are so many other symptoms that can affect really, literally any organ or tissue in your body. Matter of fact, nowadays, the most frequent way that disease presents itself is not diarrhea. Rather, is anemia with that fatigue. But literally, any tissue organ can be involved. So you can have problem with your bones, you can have problem with your muscle, you can have problem with your reproductive system, you can have problem with your brain and a nervous system, and the list goes on and on and on.
And I imagine, too, there's, as you're saying some of the symptoms, I'm thinking that sounds like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease. I mean, there's so many other things that have very similar symptoms.
That's right. And that's all another layer of confusion. As a matter of fact, a while ago, I defined celiac disease a clinical chameleon because it really can present itself in so many different vague ways that are not really specific and direct you point you in the right direction. And, for example, if you develop any other autoimmune disease like MS or, rheumatoid arthritis or diabetes, the symptoms are quite peculiar, not with celiac disease.
So, Ann, you've written a book about celiac disease and gluten sensitivity, and this came about because your grandchildren were diagnosed with the disease, but it took a while for doctors to figure out what was going on. So tell us how celiac and gluten intolerance has impacted your family.
Well, I have no idea what shape my family would be in today if we hadn't figured this out. My grandson was quite ill. He had 10 or 12 symptoms going on, And his doctor really didn't comprehend this. And this was before the NIH conference, consensus conference on celiac disease. The word wasn't quite out there, so it's understandable. But one of my youngsters, I know her life would be very impaired today if we hadn't figured this out. I have two daughters who had serious things going on. Myself, I had great fatigue. I had the bronchioles, the reactive airway. I had UTIs. Mm. And my allergies got worse as I aged. And I do not deal with this anymore. Mm. Generally, I'm very healthy. I have a little laryngitis today. But I pride myself in when I talk to people that I never get sick. Mm. I have great energy. This is a topic that if you have anything going on, and I address many of the 300 symptoms that have research stating that these ailments are linked to gluten. Much of that is in my book.
Mm-hmm. And you have stories of other people who've, you know, their stories of what happened to them and how they were diagnosed or the troubles with getting diagnosed, right?
Yes, I have probably over 60 stories and little tidbits here and there, plus mm-hmm. my own family story. And these people really wanted to share their information with the world because, you know, there is so much research on this. If you were to look at the researchers on one side of the room and the doctors on the other side, and imagine that there are tens of millions of people across America who are dealing with ailments that are very, very likely linked to gluten. Mm. But there's so much unawareness still. I mean, they are recognizing celiac disease, the basic intestinal issues, but some of the more serious problems, such as liver disease, cardiomyopathy, seizures, schizophrenia, some of these things can reverse if you take gluten out of your diet. And this was just so mind-boggling to me. And as I began to read and read and read, and I was reading The Tipping Point at that time mm-hmm. by Malcolm Gladwell, mm-hmm. and I thought, wow, you know what? I think I can do something about this. So that's when I got the crazy idea to write this book.
Yeah, Dr. Bazzano, what do you think about that? Do you agree with that, that a lot of these conditions you can actually clear up with just taking gluten out of your diet?
Well, again, if you make a general statement that if you have schizophrenia or you have liver disease, this can be, fixed with a gluten-free diet, of course this is not credible. If, on the other hand, you say, you know, gluten can harm people outside gluten celiac disease, and again, this has been a matter of debate for so long, I think that the debate now is settled. Mm-hmm. Even the most skeptical researchers and clinicians, they agree that besides celiac disease, the other form of gluten reaction. And again, we are with these other gluten reactions, namely gluten sensitivity and wheat allergy, where we were with celiac disease 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. We are moving the first steps. We're still in the learning curve. Right. But it's indisputable that there are, situations in which an immune response that is not autoimmune, like celiac disease, can be triggered by gluten in individuals, it leads to symptoms that are similar to one that Anne was mentioning.
So, Mindy, I just wanted to interrupt and say that I didn't say all mm-hmm. of those illnesses, but there are segments of those populations mm-hmm. that it will clear up and get better.
Right. Anne mentioned that her family diagnosed with gluten intolerance or sensitivity. What is the difference, Dr. Fasano, between celiac disease and gluten intolerance or sensitivity?
We tend not to use the term intolerance anymore based on a consensus conference of the experts, because intolerance is a generic term in which you can have a reaction to something like gluten, for example, on any given base. We decided to really have a consensus on nomenclature of the immune response to gluten, and therefore there are three major responses. One is an allergic response, that is wheat allergy. You mm-hmm. can have allergy to wheat as to any other foodstuff. The other one is the autoimmune response, the one that, again, is typical of celiac disease. And then this is this third form that, again, was vaguely described a while ago and then went forgotten for many years, and then when was revitalized by a group of us when we start to see a critical mass of cases like Anne's family, for mm-hmm. example, come in our clinic, and we gave it to ourselves the rule, if you don't have celiac disease, you have no problem with gluten. And we realized that this rule has so many exceptions, to the point in which people start to really dig into what else mm-hmm. gluten can give to you. And this gluten sensitivity, this other form of reaction came about. And it seems to be another form of the immune response to gluten that is not autoimmune like celiac, is not allergic like with allergy. Nevertheless, the immune system reacts in an inappropriate way, creating problems that lead to symptoms that unfortunately are completely overlapping with celiac disease. So you can distinguish between gluten sensitivity and celiac disease just purely and merely on a clinical ground. The complication right now, and this is, again, the consequence that we are really at the very early stage of the understanding of this condition, is while we have tests for wheat allergy and celiac disease, we don't have tests yet for gluten sensitivity. There are studies to validate eventually diagnostic tests. So that's the reason why we still have a fair amount of skepticism among, clinicians. Mm-hmm. But the people that really study deeply what gluten can do to your body, now they have a total agreement that this other form exists.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the diagnosis then. So you mentioned there is not a test for this gluten sensitivity, but we do have for allergies and celiac disease. So how is it traditionally diagnosed?
Well, Anne can be a testimony how difficult this can be. In general, first of all, you have to have a awareness of the possibility of this reaction. So in other words, you have to have a clinician is in tune of what's going on. And it's by exclusion criteria. So in other words, if you have sinus symptoms, it can be related to gluten sensitivity. If you exclude wheat allergy, if you exclude celiac disease, if you exclude any other conditions that can explain the symptoms, and if the symptoms will be improving or completely resolved on a gluten-free diet and triggered back by the reintroduction of gluten, at that point, we call that gluten sensitivity. Mm-hmm. You understand that again. Mm-hmm. This leaves a lot of room of possible criticism by people that say, gee, this can be a placebo effect, this is not gluten, and so on and so forth. But again, if this is done right, it is undisputable there are people that improve tremendously their quality of life and resolve problems that have been chronic and now resolve what any other means by just embracing a gluten-free diet. Mm.
So, Anna,
Andy, I just wanted to talk about one test for a minute, the anti-gliadin test. And I believe there are a few doctors around the world who believe in using this test, and Dr. Hajivasalu from the UK is one. Often neurological issues, people with them may not test positive for celiac mm-hmm. disease, and he suggests giving this test. And it may not meet Dr. Fasano's expectations, but why not give it and see if a person shows that they are high with those antibodies? And then let them do the test, suggest mm-hmm. that they do this test. I mean, not the test, but the diet, right. The gluten-free diet.
Right.
And watch their lives possibly turn around.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, of course, we use routinely the anti-gliadin antibodies, and we publish that, some people with gluten sensitivity, like kids with autism and some patients with schizophrenia, they have positive anti-gliadin antibodies. They don't cut the chase. Because, the presence of these antibodies, they tell us only three things. One, that individual is eating gluten, of course. That's two, sometimes gluten or pieces of it comes through in our body through the intestinal barrier. And three, the immune system does its job, i.e. sees an enemy and builds an immune response. So we see these antibodies for sure present in celiac disease. We see that for sure in some cases, 50%. We have numbers that we generated and many other people worldwide generated in gluten sensitivity. So they definitely are positive in people with gluten sensitivity. But they are not, capable to identify all the cases, and they are not specific, because if you have, let's say, an infection, a gastrointestinal infection, you can have this increase of anti-gliadin antibodies. Right now, it's the best that we have. Mm-hmm. So if we suspect gluten sensitivity, we test them, but definitely they don't have the same power, so to speak, with the test that we use for wheat allergy in which we have certainty if they test positive for those. And, of course, not the same for celiac disease, in which we have very, very powerful tests. They are very sensitive and specific.
Yeah.
This is the best that we have right now, but definitely we can improve.
Yeah. And in the book, we mentioned you have stories of many people who suffer from celiac disease and gluten sensitivity. And for many, diagnosis was not straightforward as a positive or negative blood test. Many people have taken an extra step of having a stool sample. So tell us about that and why that's important.
Well, that was very important for my family because my grandson was the only one who tested positive on the blood tests, and he was off the charts. So we were all negative, and luckily someone told me about Dr. Fine's stool testing, and we were all positive. And everybody's life has turned around because of it. He has a panel of three tests, and one of them is a malabsorption test. I could not believe my numbers. They were off the charts. No wonder I had been tired my whole life. So I really believe in his testing. I know it may not be accepted yet by a traditional medicine, but considering that many healthcare providers and practitioners recommend just trying the diet for a few weeks to see how you feel, I feel this is important. Important, and that it can show you whether you're positive, whether you're malabsorbing. And if so, then you have something to go by because you really need to do this diet 100%. Mm-hmm. And just trying it is okay. But there are too many serious things linked to this over decades that you don't want to deal with.
Right. We're talking about celiac disease and gluten sensitivity. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break.